First of all, what was the first word we looked at 2 weeks ago, Wednesday night?
Depravity.
Depravity. Depravity. What did you say? Depravity. All right, and last week we looked at the word, what was the word last week?
Grace.
Grace. Tonight we're going to look at another word, Bible doctrine, that is regeneration. Regeneration. The word is used twice in Scripture, once in Matthew, once in Titus. But we're going to read John chapter 3 because the word parallels two words put together in John, that is born again, being born from above. So the third doctrine we're going to look at, the third Bible teaching, is the doctrine of regeneration. John chapter 3, verse number 1 through verse number 18. Look at your scripture as I read it, all right? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, or born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your scripture. And Father, I ask that you would bless our meeting here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Anoint me for more time. Give me your power. No matter what the circumstances surrounding us, we ought to go right ahead and just listen to your word. And Father, take it in and grow by it. And Father, I pray that you would just captivate our attention. Lord, I ask that you'd hide me behind the cross and speak through me as we look at this very important Bible doctrine, this teaching that comes from you, Lord, out of a living book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, one of the most outstanding moments in my life, and I reminisce once in a while, as Nathan gets older, I don't reminisce as often, but I remember when he was born. And I remember leading up to the time he was born. And I think it was February, March of 1974, Rose had come to me and she said, we're going to have our first child. And as soon as I heard that, it scared me half to death. I mean that. It really did. I didn't take it lightly in some ways, and then again, I took it lightly in other ways, but I knew one thing, for a baby to be born in this world and I would be the father, then there would be certain responsibilities on me. And as far as I was concerned at that time, my daddy hadn't done a very good job with me, and of course he had lost his mind, and so I thought, and I might have been one of the contributing factors, and I mean that with all my heart, and I'm not kidding about that, but I thought, well, if I'm going to have a child, then I think it's a very, very, very important step, and that's when I began looking into church. I didn't know what I was looking for, and I sure didn't look to get saved, but I decided I'd go to church anyway. and turn over a new leaf, you know? But I remember the night he was born, Rose went into the hospital Sunday evening before midnight, and I sat over the hospital all night, Sunday night, going into Monday morning, all day Monday, all evening Monday evening. The next night at 2:15, I think it was, Nathan was born into this world. I sat over there a long time. I know that, hadn't had much sleep. And even though I was tired, when she gave birth to my firstborn, which was a son, then I was happy. I was thrilled. It was a miracle. I didn't watch that birth. I've watched everyone since. I was in the room with her all three times since. But the first time, I let her go by herself. And after 48 hours, I'm glad I did. But I'm saying this. What an outstanding moment in anybody's life. You can imagine back. And you can imagine back when you were young too, right, Sam? Some of you other folks, Roy, some of you fellas, June. And you can remember way back when you worked in the mines of Jordan, or maybe even before then, you can remember the first child. And you can remember how your heart felt. That's yours. You can remember that. Picking up that baby. You know? And that's an important feeling. Now, the mom at that time didn't have much of a memory, and she really wouldn't have cared too much about a whole lot, but the man there at that time was proud. Well, you know something? The Bible compares our being born again to being born the first time. And can you imagine the feeling that fathers have today as babies are being born, if they take that responsibility seriously? Can you imagine how they feel compared to how God must feel in heaven as people are being born again? That's what we're going to look at. Born again. That's what the word regeneration means. Now turn to Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. We see the first usage that we're going to look at. It's not the first in the Bible. We call it the first in the Bible. It's found in Matthew chapter 19. But Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Of course, you've heard this verse over and over again, but the word regeneration is found. The Bible simply says this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, and it goes on to say, by the washing of regeneration and renewed of the Holy Ghost. And so, we are saved by the washing of regeneration. And so, that makes it a very, very, very important word. John chapter 3, verse number 7 says that you're saved by being born again. If you're not born again, you cannot receive the kingdom of God. Titus 3, 5 calls it regeneration. Both words mean the same thing. Being born from above or being redeemed is simply what it's saying. Redeemed from above. Now, the Bible makes certain comparisons. Now, in Titus 3, 5, it's called by the washing of regeneration. In Ephesians 2, 1, it says, ye who he hath quickened. Now the word quickened is an old English word, simply meaning made alive. And so it's saying, you who he hath made alive. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, verse number 2, don't turn there. But it simply says, behold, we are the sons of God. And so you're born into God's family. And let me give you something else here. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, this new birth is an act of creation. An act of creation. Do you know the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Now, it's a direct act of God for a person to be saved. It's a direct act of God for a person to be generated all over or regenerated, born from above. The origination of eternal life and immortal body comes from God. Now, as we look at this, probably tonight and next week, we're going to see that a man cannot work to earn regeneration. Regeneration is a supernatural act. It's something coming from the outside, going into a person, and the person cannot earn that, or a person cannot live to attain that. Because regeneration simply means being born into a new family, having a new father, having a new birth. The Bible calls it a spiritual resurrection. A person certainly can't resurrect themselves. And the Bible also, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, calls it a creation. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen any human being ever able to create anything as far as taking nothing, as far as nothing in matter, and making something as far as something in matter out of it. It can't be done. Only God can create. They talk about having test tube babies. Well, man does not create the elements. He simply mingles it outside of their natural sources. And that's what happens. And so man cannot create life. Only God can. And when a person is regenerated, it's new life. And that's why a man can't make his own life. A man cannot create his own eternal life. And so the first thing we want to look at tonight is we are born of God. Regeneration. We are born of God. Jeremiah makes an interesting statement. You've all heard it years ago. It was preached all the time. And I looked at this verse today and I realized I never preached out of that passage at all. But in Jeremiah 13:23, it says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots?" And some of you older Christians have heard messages from that. No, an Ethiopian can't change his skin. No, a leopard cannot change his spots. No, he can't. And what it's saying is, can somebody change himself? No. We can turn over new leaves, but the sad part of it is, the other side is as dirty as the one that was up. And so we are born of God. Salvation comes from God. The author of the new birth is God Almighty. Now, Jesus Christ was the instrument that God used on the cross to pay for salvation, but God had a plan. You know, a lot of people think that God simply stumbled into this plan of salvation. Here he was, he created man, and all of a sudden, everything went haywire. I mean, everything turned against God, and he didn't have a plan, so all of a sudden, I've heard preachers sort of be intervernacular here, and they'd say, well, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ stood up and said, I volunteer to go to the cross. No, it wasn't like that at all. God planned it all. He didn't make man sin, but he already had a way out for man. He gave man a perfect sinless substitute, and the Bible says it was before the foundation of the world. God provided salvation. And so the author of this new birth, the author of regeneration, is God. The Bible makes many interesting statements. In one place it says this, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made into us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." This plan that God had included the fact that he would show his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, his redemption to mankind. If man would have never sinned, then God would have just simply had a race of innocent beings. But man sinned. And this way, man can be born into God's family. You see? And that makes it that much sweeter. In the Bible, in Romans 3:26, the Bible says salvation was provided because of God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Romans 3:26, it simply says, "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And so the Bible declares that the plan of salvation points out the righteousness of God. God was perfectly just in providing salvation for man. Salvation is ordained by God in Christ, and it was ordained by God in Christ before time was ever created. And everything about salvation manifests the blessings of God through Christ. You can read Ephesians 1:1 and following, and you'll see that everything that God did for man in providing redemption, in providing salvation, in being good to man, was to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so Jesus Christ gets all the praise and all the glory. Why did Jesus do it? Why did God plan it this way? Because God's brilliance was so shown against the backdrop of man's sin. I heard A.J. Ironside on the tape. Of course, he's been dead many years. He's a great preacher. The pastor of Moody Memorial Church of Chicago. He said this. He said, if God did provide another way for salvation, he said, there couldn't be a better way than God providing his own son to die on the cross, to suffer all the pain and the agony. If there were another way, he said, there couldn't be a better way, because that's the only way that man can be born into God's family. And so, by new birth, You and I are born into God's family, and that plan comes from God. Now, salvation is not of human ancestry or blood, because in John chapter 1, verse number 12, if you look there with me, in John chapter 1, verse number 12, it simply says, but as many as received him, and that's the act of the human will to accept the Son of God in his life, John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the word authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse number 13. Which were born not of blood. And when it's saying not of blood, it's not talking about the blood of Christ, because we know the only way to be born again, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's talking about human blood or human ancestry. It's talking about high birth, having blue blood, being born into royalty. You know, listen, the Bible teaches us that man's blood doesn't make difference. It doesn't matter what family you're in. Every child in your home has to come to the point in his or her life that they realize they're sinners, that they realize there's a sin debt, and God will save them if they just simply come to Him. They're not saved simply because you make them come to Bible study, and they just don't sort of assume the fact you're born again. Every child has to make a decision for themselves. They're not born in man's blood. It's not a matter of being born into the right family. It's a matter of being born again by God. It says, not of blood. Then it goes on to say, nor of the will of the flesh. It simply means this, that man did not devise this plan, and there's nothing your flesh can do to help God save you. And see, that's a misnomer even among good Bible-believing churches. People think, and we talked about grace last week, remember? You know, people think that they can help God in this matter getting saved. You can't help God in this matter getting saved. All you can do is simply come to Christ and be saved. After that, you need to yield to Him. But the Bible says it's not of the will of flesh, the Lord says, nor of the will of man. Man cannot come up with anything better than what God, but it says, but of God. So, we are born of God. Can the leper change his own spots? No. But God can change the leper's spots. Could you change your own filthy life and become redeemed by your own works? No. Because this is supernatural, and only God can perform miracles. Miracles that are good and decent. Now, we're born of God. Secondly, this matter of regeneration, the Holy Spirit is the active agent in the miracle of regeneration. Now, when we talk about being regenerated, a lot of people walk down the aisle and they say, well, I want to get saved. And they cry a few tears and they pray a prayer. And what they're doing is simply succumbing to the fact, well, this is what I ought to do, without any real meaning of what they're doing, without any real knowledge. And I've seen people do this time and time again. You have to be careful. You have to be gentle. Why? Because what happens, they simply think, well, I hit that altar, and therefore, I must be all right. Then the preacher preaches a message on you must be born again from heaven above. You must be saved. And they think, well, have I ever been saved? I know I went to the altar. I know I did this. I know I did this. Yes, but you cannot born yourself again. It's not just acknowledgement of a bunch of facts. The Holy Spirit does the work of regeneration in a man's heart. It's supernatural. And I've talked to so many people that say, well, yeah, I'm saved. And you know there's no real intense meaning there. There's no real intense meaning at all. And some of them think about it, well, I'm saved, but I'm hanging on, and someday I may not be saved. Well, my friend, I don't think that person is saved if they really believe what they just said. Because they're not trusting God, they're trusting their own flesh. All right? And the Bible doesn't say that. The Holy Spirit is the active agent in the miracle of regeneration. Look at John chapter 3 again, verse number 5. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many of you believe that a baby being born in this world is an absolute miracle? Well, I do. If you've ever been in with your wife, husband, of course, I don't have to remind the wife how it is if you've ever had a child. It's a miracle. When you look at that little runt that's just come out of your body, or the husband looks at it, he says, how in the world did that fit in that? Think about it. How in the world did that? John weighed 9 pounds, 5 ounces. My wife only outweighed him by 80 pounds. That's a miracle. It's a miracle to think sperm and egg get together and all of a sudden, life. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to watch a woman carry a child for 9 months, and I can talk about this. Kathy's due right now. They say she might go early, right? So she may go before the night's over. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Salvation is just as big a miracle. And we don't consider that. It's a miracle for a man that's headed for hell to have the grace of God exposed to his wife, and all of a sudden that man is headed for hell. It's God's miracle. We can't earn that. And we degrade and defame the plan of salvation of Almighty God by trying to hang on to some stupid fleshy acts to say, well, this will purchase my salvation. When Jesus paid it all, and he made it a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. The Holy Spirit enacts that miracle. Now, in verse number 5, we see the word water and spirit. Some Bible commentators say this is the water of the Word. I disagree with them. Now, water throughout Scripture is a symbol of cleansing and also a symbol of the Word of God. But you have to take the context here. And verse number 6 interprets verse number 5. It says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, how is a baby born? Well, you know the baby's in a pocket of water, and the water has to break before birth. And so, fleshly or physical birth comes with what? Water. And then spiritual birth comes by the Spirit. And so the Bible says here, a man must be born by the Spirit. Do you know why we have so much what you call ridiculousness in Christianity today as a whole? Because we have a lot of folks out there putting on the traits, man-made traits of the Bible, without having this in their heart. They're not born from above. They're simply copies of something or someone they see, and they end up frustrated, and they end up out of church. No, listen, the Bible says the Holy Spirit does the work of regeneration, and you're born from above, you're born again, and you take on God's nature. God's nature in your body. Water through Scripture is a symbol of cleansing, but in this case, it's a symbol of physical birth, and the Bible says you must be born again by the Spirit. Human agents produce human babies. Divine agents, divine babies. When you come in contact with God, regeneration is divine. The Holy Spirit convicts the heart as the Word convicts the head. You know, we're going to look at the Word of God here in a moment, but a man is never saved apart from the Word of God. Because just as regeneration saves a man, that is being born again, there has to be seed. And this is the seed. Not one man in this world has ever been born again apart from the Word of God. Not one woman. You say, well, I didn't get saved by the Word of God. I read a Bible tract. What did the Bible tract include? You say, well, I didn't get saved by the Word of God. I was just kneeling on I was in at home sitting in an easy chair listening to a radio preacher. What was he preaching? The Word of God. You say, I didn't get saved by the Word of God. I was just home, and all of a sudden I knew I was in terrible tragedy. And so I knelt down and prayed and asked God, I said, how did you know to have knowledge to know that? I asked God to say, by the Word of God. No man has ever been born again apart from the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit convicts the heart as the Word of God convicts the head. And the Holy Spirit imparts the life of God. It says, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Born into man at the time of the regeneration is God's nature. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9. I want you to look at this because we need to see this. And of course, there's a couple ways to interpret this. And if you interpret it different than this, I believe you're wrong, but you may believe I'm wrong. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9 says this. Now look what it says. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Do you commit sin? How many of you have not committed a single sin today? This is a load of presents. Hey, all of us sin every day. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Well, are you born of God? All right. You know what I'm saying? The Bible teaches right here that the new man does not commit sin. You see, in your body, you have two natures. If you're born again, you have the old man and the new man. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that. There's a portion of Scripture we'll look at next week that tells us about the new man, Ephesians. That new nature in you cannot sin because it's God's nature and God can't sin. As you yield to the new man or the new nature, the things of God, you can't sin. But what happens? We're human and we don't always yield to the new nature. We're feeble. We look off to the side this way and that way, and we live in the realm of the old man too much. And the old man sins. The new man cannot sin because it is God. It's God's nature in you. What's it say? Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Jesus Christ dwells in you. Can Jesus sin? No. Your new nature is God's nature, and it can't sin. How does it get there? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. God performs surgery on you the minute you accept Christ, and you have a heart transplant. God puts His nature in His children. Now, that's a big statement. You say, what about so-and-so? I don't know about so-and-so. I know what the Bible says. You've got to say, so-and-so, why are you out there living in sin? The mission will continue. Well, maybe so-and-so is not saved. Then maybe he's got a big problem. That's not my business. I'll tell you what my business is. To worry about this so-and-so. To live right. To do right. Too many people use other people for an excuse to sin. And so the Bible says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Look at verse number 9. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Well, alright. The new nature can't sin. The new man in you can't sin. But the old nature can make up for a lot of things. And so we need to yield to that new nature. And the Holy Spirit imparts the life of God. The Holy Spirit begats or produces eternal life in you. You know, eternal has no beginning or no ending. When I got saved, I received eternal life. Do you know something? The moment I got saved, Bob Barker did have a point in this life where I was born fleshly, but in God's mind, I'm eternal. I had no beginning. Or no end. Why? Because Jesus said in Revelation 22:13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My new nature in me is Jesus Christ. And they have no beginning. And that's what the Bible teaches. That cannot happen simply by turning over leaves or working for it or being baptized. That can't happen. It's a supernatural act from God. The Holy Spirit is the active agent in the miracle of regeneration. One more thing and I'm finished. One more thing. The Word of God is the means by which the Holy Spirit produces the miracle of the new birth. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It all has to do with regeneration. 1 Peter 1:1. I don't think it's important enough to you. There are a lot of areas. In case you say, well, I'm saved from eternal hell. That's great. But God expects you to show that new nature while you're living on this earth, too.
Amen.
That's the purpose. And He also expects you to share that new nature. And so the Word of God is the means by which the Holy Spirit produces the miracle of the new birth. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23. Now what does it say? Being born again, well, that's familiar terms. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what?
Word
of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That word seed in the Greek language, you know what that is, the word? What parallels our word? It's sperm. You know anything about health and hygiene, you know what I'm talking about. This is the sperm of God, the seed that enacts regeneration for the fact that you're being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of seed that will rot, not of seed that will ever go away, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. How long? It says forever. Now I want you to hold your finger there. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll tell you something else I think the children of God take lightly. It's the book you hold in your hand. I think you take it lightly. The answer for every problem in your life is found in this book because it's a living word. You may not think so. And you may look at it and you may take it home tonight and lay it on the shelf, and for 3 or 4 days it may lay there on top of the shelf and gather dust. But while that book lays there, it's alive. It's a live book. Hebrews 4:12. What does it say? For the word of God is quick. You know what quick means? It means it's a life giver. Remember Ephesians 2:1, ye that were dead in trespasses, he hath quickened or made alive. The word of God is quick. That doesn't mean it's fast. It means it's a life giver. This book we have is a life giver, and it says it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows. It gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book reads your mind. You say, that's ridiculous, that's what it says. You know this Bible reads you as much as you read it? It's alive! It's the quickening agent. The living word of God from a living God presenting the living truth is what gives you life. No man has ever been saved apart from this book that's living. It's alive. That's why we can go up there on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, and I can read verses out of the Bible, and I know that God's working with us because this book is alive. The most pitiful preacher in the world that preaches out of this book can get people saved. Do you know that? It's not my ability. It's not the fact that I get the message out or not get the message out. It's the fact that this is a living book. This is a lie. This is a lie. And the Bible says about itself, my word shall not return unto me void. God says that. Now we know Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I says, well, I believe in blind faith. Not a person ever has been born again, ever, by blind faith. Matter of fact, the words together, blind faith, are misnomer. There's no such thing. Do you know your faith has to have an object? It has to have substance. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And no man has ever been born again without the knowledge, first of all, that he's a sinner. How do we know we're sinners? How would we know unless we had something to compare it to? This book is alive. Bob Barker didn't even realize what sin was until somebody read the verse in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how I knew I was a sinner. I didn't know. The Bible says where there is no light, then people don't know they're sinners. That's what it says. It says there's several places throughout the word of God. And so there has to be knowledge. There has to be knowledge. So the Bible teaches me that I'm a sinner. The Bible teaches me that Jesus saves sinners. If I just simply go to Him, the only way I knew about Jesus Christ is through this book. You know that? The world just puts Jesus down as a historical figure. It doesn't say that He's God. He's just the leader of religion. But this book teaches us. No man has ever been saved apart from the Bible because this is the seed. A man cannot believe that which he's ignorant of. Knowledge always precedes faith. No knowledge, no object. No knowledge, no object. You know something? There's a TV preacher on now. There's a song they sing, Only Believe, All Things Possible, Only Believe. I think that's a theme song. I really couldn't even tell you his name. I don't want you to tell me. It's not that you only believe. It's that you believe in the right thing. It's not faith that saves you. Jesus is the Savior. It's putting your faith in Jesus the Savior. And you don't know about that unless you read the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp. It's the seed that begets our souls. Look at James 1:18. James 1:18, the Bible says this. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. You know what the word begat means? Birth. Born. How does God beget us? By the word of faith. You can't be saved apart from this book. That's why I believe people better watch out what they read of this book. Perversion is not going to do the same thing this word does. not. A translation's not gonna do the same thing this word does. And we see Christianity waning because they can't get in their mind what the Word of God is today. And it happens. Alright? This Bible is how we know that we're sinners, how we know we need a Savior, how we know how to be saved. And the Word of God is incorruptible. The word corruptible means spoiled, contaminated, rotten. But the word incorruptible means that which cannot be spoiled, that which cannot be contaminated, that which cannot be rotten. And so this is the seed that will never rot. And so this is how we know we're going to heaven when we die, through the Word of God. Assurance comes by the Word of God. And so tonight we've looked at three things. We've looked at, number one, the author of regeneration is who? God. Secondly, the agent that produces regeneration is who? The Holy Spirit. And thirdly, the means by that we are regenerated by is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. What He does in every service we ever have is He takes the Word of God. As I preach it to your ears, there's somebody else working with me on you. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and as I preach it, the seed is thrown out. And nobody's born again apart from that seed. Nobody. And so, hey, that makes this a pretty important book. It's living. And it's a life giver. It's a life giver. And so, if you go to a church that has a ill regard for the Word of God, you're not in a church. This is a life giver. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll stop there. Every head bowed and every eye closed.